Maria Duhova Trevor.
Very good.
Principal harpist and librarian for the Missouri Symphony Orchestra. When I think librarian, I have a certain image of what a librarian does. What do you do in your role with the Missouri Symphony Orchestra?
So my role as a librarian is ensure that musicians get their sheet music in a timely manner, which means about 2 weeks before each concert, so they have enough time to prepare for rehearsals. Of course, Missouri Symphony season being so compact during hot summer nights in June and July, we have about 6 weeks when we do 24 concerts. So that is a lot of folders. If you imagine that we have about 50 musicians in the orchestra, and there's a folder for each concert that I have to give to each musician. And each folder contains about six pieces of music. I go through a lot of sheet music every summer.
Who is negotiating with the owners of the music? To take it back a step or two, is that you?
It's between me and Kirk, Kirk Trevor, the music director, and my husband. So about 2 months prior to the festival, we start ordering the music. Of course, we have our own music library that is located in the Missouri Theater, but of course we don't own every single piece of music that was written, and he cannot base the programming solely of what we own. So there's a lot of music that we have to either buy new or we rent. Of course, some pieces are only rental. Some pieces are only rental, and they come from France or they come from Spain. So this ordering process happens in preparation for the music festival. As I said, about 2 months prior, we order music, then it starts arriving at my house, and then about 3 weeks before the festival, we really get down to work and start filing the music in individual folders. So every musician, for example, somebody who plays second violin, seventh chair, will have a folder for each concert that will say second violin, seventh chair, classical one. Then there will be another folder that will be for the same person, for classical two, for the pops one. So and then, of course, after the concerts are done, after each concert, I have to sort it out again and then make sure I mail it back to the right people.
So you're mailing these packets out in advance of the artists showing up here in Columbia for their Hot Summer Nights commitment?
Actually, I just prepare it for them, and then once they arrive, the musicians arrive from all over the United States to participate in Hot Summer Nights. They arrive beginning of June, and usually we have about seven folders ready for them. So we actually don't mail them out before, because some of this music is very valuable, and if it got lost, we would be in big trouble and had to pay a big fine. So they spend first week rehearsing intensively. And also we let them know what the program is. So if they have played some of these pieces before and have copies, or some of it is available online also. So they do come somewhat prepared as what to expect. But of course, some of the pieces, as I said, especially the rental ones, are not available anywhere except for that rental company. So they cannot find them. But again, that first week is very intense, and they get music for most of the festival right there on the first day, so they can keep practicing.
That's impressive to me that those musicians can come in, get some music, and then within a week to 10 days, they're performing that music. That's a testimony, I think, to their preparedness and their professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all professional musicians coming from different orchestras where they play year-round. They all have degrees in music performance, so they have spent most of their life playing an instrument and perfecting what they do.
Most musicians, the good musicians out there, they're very precise. They're very exacting in what they do. The job, as you're describing it to me, of being the librarian for the Missouri Symphony Orchestra, it requires that same level of precision and organization and great attention to detail. I've got to think that it's a perfect job for a musician to be a music librarian and do the level of preparedness that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely requires precision, as you said. Honestly, it is a nice job. There's no stress, though. Like, being a musician, you go through a lot of stress as far as performance. In performance, where you rehearsed for, let's say, a week, you practiced on your own a week prior, and then you have that 1 hour to give it your best, and you just hope and believe that you will give your best, but sometimes, you know, things happen. In the librarian's world, it's that stress is removed. You have to have attention to detail, you have to be prepared, but you can do it on your own time. So a lot of my music library work happens at night or, you know, early mornings, anywhere I can find the extra time.
Take me back to your musical origins. Your instrument, the harp, is a pretty specific and rare instrument, I think, that people gravitate towards as performance artists. Do you remember the first time that you saw the harp in action and how you reacted?
Yes. Well, I grew up in a town that was similar to size of Colombia. So I love that fact that living in Colombia, it really reminds me of my hometown. It was also a university town. And we had a chamber orchestra there, full-time chamber orchestra. We had a concert every week. So I used to go to concerts with my parents, and that's where I saw the harp. And yes, I was enchanted that the vibrations of that instrument just carrying through. I played a piano as a child, and once I saw the harp, I was definitely interested. And then my piano teacher helped me with this interest and got us in touch with the harp professor, and I was able to start lessons and then continue at the Conservatory of Žilina and then eventually at the University Academy of Music and Fine Arts in Bratislava.
And your hometown? Where did you come
Žilina.
From? Žilina, Slovakia.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing nothing about Slovakia, can you give us a thumbnail sketch of what's the country like? Can maybe compare it to an American state, and what do people do there?
It's a beautiful landscape, a small country, about 7 million people. Many of you might remember it as Czechoslovakia. And the country split into Czech Republic and Slovakia in 1993. It has been a peaceful split. It has been very peaceful. Since then, the country has been on its own, doing great. And as I said, the landscape is beautiful. For a fairly small country, we have beautiful mountains, kind of like small Alps, highest being about 2,500 meters. Then the capital city is Bratislava, which has been known in the past as Pressburg. Slovakia was under Austro-Hungarian Empire at one time. So there's a lot of history, a lot of castles, castle ruins, because it was that mountainous part of Austro-Hungarian Empire where the aristocracy liked to build the castles on the mountains. So when we travel from the capital where I lived later on to Žilina, to my hometown, I think there are about 3 or 4 castles just along the highway. Some of them are in ruins, but honestly, the ruins are even more charming to me because you can just make a hike to go there and imagine what it looked like, walk around the stones that are still there and imagine what it was like.
So who owns those castles now? Is it the state? Are they privately owned?
State, mainly state. Some of them are privately owned, and they have done a wonderful job turning them into wedding venues, but most of them are state-owned.
As a harpist, there are some works that you will come across, guaranteed, that are central to the repertoire. What are some of those pieces, or who's a composer that especially wrote for the instrument?
Mm-hmm. Well, harp has developed over the years, of course, in Handel's and Mozart's time, it was a different instrument that we know today. Harp was a little bit smaller, and now the concert grand harp has 7 pedals, which change the pitches of the strings. In the 1600s, the harp was still being developed as an instrument, and they were still trying to figure out a way how to be able to change the pitch without having, well, first of all, if you wanted to have it like a piano, you would have to have 88 strings, and it wouldn't be possible for a human to be playing all of those strings. So modern harp has 47 strings and 7 pedals, and each pedal is connected to a tone. So you have a C pedal that will change all the C's to C flat or C natural or C sharp, however you need it in the composition. But it took them a while to figure out how to do this best with the instrument. And again, in Handel's and Mozart's time, the harp was still being developed into its current form and was not able to play in all the keys. So we don't have much repertoire from that time period. Basically, what we do, we take the piano repertoire nowadays and transpose that to harp. So any of the Scarlatti sonatas that are played on the harp were not composed for the harp, of course. There's a Handel concerto. So to answer your question, there's one concerto from a Baroque period that's very famous, and that's Handel concerto. In B-flat major for harp. Then we have a Mozart concerto, which is wonderful that a big composer like that wrote a concerto for flute and harp. And then from that same period, perhaps Boieldieu, who was a French composer, wrote the concerto, Czech composer Krumholtz. Then, of course, the peak of the harp repertoire came in the Romantic era and the Impressionistic era. So we have Ravel Introduction and Allegro for harp and strings and flute and clarinet, which is a beautiful piece, one of my favorites. Debussy wrote dances, 2 dances for harp and strings. So there are some big names that wrote for the instrument, and I can also see that in the orchestral repertoire that harp just blossomed. They just discovered this beautiful sound and the color that it gives the orchestra, which that's what the harp does mainly. It doesn't have the big solos, but the timbre of the sound, it just carries through and gives it a special color.
Though it doesn't get to solo much, but sometimes it is the instrument, and I got to see you perform at an Odyssey concert maybe a year ago and was wowed at the range of the harp and really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
When the show was over, when your set was over, because Odyssey, for folks who haven't been, there's a set change maybe 2 or 3 times in a segment of the show, maybe before and after intermission. There's going to be a couple set changes. And your husband, Kirk Trevor, who I associate as the maestro of the Missouri Symphony Orchestra, comes out and is incredibly efficient at moving that instrument. What is involved in the maneuvering of the harp? Because it's huge. It's bigger than you. It's taller than most performers. What's involved in moving it, and how does your choice of instrument affect or influence your transportation choices?
Well, as you said, the harp is big. It's about 6 feet tall, right? It's probably lighter than most people expect. It's about 80 pounds. I have a special harp dolly that I use when I transport my harp. Of course, I have a really good harp cover with padding, and it's kind of weatherproof too, so I can move my harp whether it rains or not. And of course, you have to have a harp mobile.